This is Your Own Best Company, a podcast for people who love to work alone. Hello there, everybody. I'm Franklin Taggart, and this is Your Own Best Company. It's a podcast. I don't know if it's still specifically just for people who love working alone, but it really, when I started it, Nick, that was the thing that I wanted it to do, is to really support and encourage people who love solitude as much as they love money.
Listen, nobody likes group projects. It's
yeah, they're tough, aren't they, man? They are really tough. My guest today, folks, is Nick Armstrong, and Nick is somebody that I've known for a few years now. The busiest man in Fort Collins, Colorado, hands down, and you're going to hear a whole bunch of things that he's up to. The context that we're really, you know, talking about today is that he is the lead organizer of Founded in FOCO and Fort Collins Comic Con. We're specifically going to be talking more about Founded in FOCO today, because that is coming up in March. And we want everybody in Northern Colorado, at least, to know about it. And we'd like to inspire other people in other communities to know that things like this can happen, and they're a huge benefit to the business community of any town. Nick, Founded in FOCO started as Fort Collins Startup Week.
That's correct, yeah.
And was it just last year that you guys went through a rebrand?
Yeah, so we sort of hit a wall with the type of reach and attendee that we were looking for. And, you know, Startup Week has a tech-specific and a very startup-specific, a very particular flavor of startup type of bent to it. And we just couldn't sort of get out of that mode of what people thought and expected from the event. Meanwhile, 60% of our audience was freelancers, solopreneurs, yeah, folks who are trying to be creative or do something creative or put their creative talent to work and make a career out of it. And so we also had this other segment of established businesses in Fort Collins and folks who were, you know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, had done the work, and were ready to grow their profits, keep their expenses the same, and scale up. And yeah, we found that through our scale up track, and Candace Edelin and Phil Donaldson from Propel Growth, really instrumental in bringing that to life. We brought in some amazing entrepreneurs into our community, and there was this amazing groundswell of enthusiasm around the idea of how to scale your business well. Meanwhile, we had a ton of peer-to-peer interactions on the freelancing side, and especially in the creative freelancing side. So graphic designers and photographers helping creative writers and copy bloggers and other things like that, right? And so we really wanted to rebrand in a way that was more holistic, to bring all of the elements of our community together instead of really just pitting them against each other or just serving a very small window of them.
It's a huge event too. It's like a week long, and every day just is jam-packed with great stuff, that includes things like workshops, lectures, panel discussions. Just it's an amazing resource. Can you talk a little bit about, I know that the focus is now not just with startups, and I think that was one of the reasons for the rebrand, is that you had businesses at every stage of business that were interested in participating. And like you said, there was a large percentage of the group that were solopreneurs and freelancers. Can you talk a little bit about how it is that you decided what content to include in such a huge undertaking?
For most startup weeks, the community is ready to go and engaged and understands that the idea of like teaching is valuable. In Fort Collins in Northern Colorado, and I include all of Northern Colorado because yeah, a lot of our teachers are from Loveland. And this being a peer-to-peer event, reputation and how you present materials and the generosity with which you present those materials is everything. Yeah. And our community in Northern Colorado, our business community, is pretty much unlike anywhere else. And I can say that knowing what I've seen in other places and have borrowed from and seen, oh, that's really good. We should bring that over here. Or, oh, that's, yeah, we should learn from that.
Yeah.
We were positioned really well in 2020. We were just the last event just before COVID shut down everything. And everybody was really well positioned to have had these conversations and these interfaces.
Yeah.
And they had those discussions and everybody was ready to help each other out or share a resource or share staff. And it was this really heartening aha moment where we could say, that's really what the community is about. And so we've taken that forward and recognizing that there's always someone out there who will have something to teach or to pitch or to show or to workshop. And we usually get more resources than we can put out into the field.
Yeah.
But we want to honor that spirit of give first, which is, so valuable in our community. And we're not really discourage anybody from pitching. And, you know, they didn't get in, they didn't get on the schedule, and now they're disappointed and, oh, I'm never going to pitch again. So to combat that, when someone doesn't get on the schedule, we actually help them create a virtual talk, which can be recorded and then shared out later. And then we also make a list of those folks so that we know, like, oh, this person needs to be in the rotation next time because they didn't get into this time, or they leveled up their skills and now we have a new thing. So choosing the content really is a matter of two things. The first is, what's the spirit in which it's being presented, right? And so we have this 95-5% rule, which is 95% of your talk has to be content that is valuable and hopefully immediately actionable by your audience. The other 5% can be your pitch, your offer, your next step, your whatever else, connect with me later over coffee or whatever it is. And so that really keeps the focus on folks who are there with good intent. The other side of
definitely.
It. Definitely.
I'll have to just interrupt and say, yes, that is absolutely true.
And it's a really purposeful, we haven't had to activate that filter very often. There was in the 7 years I've been involved with the event, like one person that we had to say, like, hey, time out. And a course correction oftentimes is enough. And so the other aspect of it is, what does the community need, right? And so we've been hearing a lot from our community partners, in this case, banks and funders, who are indicating to us that bootstrapping is an optimal pathway for a lot of things, and it proves efficacy in order to build your way to a proper funding channel if you needed to expand your business or go in a different direction or make a change. Yeah. And during COVID, they saw a lot of folks just diving in headfirst to all of the things everywhere at once. So for instance, if you were really good at making pies, you would start the entire restaurant instead of just like going to a commercial kitchen, hiring, you know, a sous chef, and then figuring out how to make pies on a regular basis and sustainably, and then scaling that up. So the whole hog side of things really is not where people tend to want to go right now in terms of supporting those businesses. The community can get behind it, but as we've seen, like, these things are not really always so sustainable for our community. So in the large picture, you know, knowing that we have three different audiences too, is a really tricky proposition. So what will the scale up side of things need? And this time around, we heard that they want really actionable items, that the theory is great, but they want to know how to put it into practice and how to train that specific team member who's in charge of recruitment, how to do this particular functionality that will allow them to, you know, bring on the right types of talent that won't exit the business in 6 months.
Yeah. Now, you've already touched upon that this isn't just for Fort Collins businesses. It's open to, you know, any business in Northern Colorado. It is an in-person event, but there are some virtual things that are available, you know, through the website year round. And the other thing I wanted to touch on was that I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, right after we had had that that big gathering, there was a sense of community coming out of that that we went into the pandemic with. And one of the things that was really impressive, Nick, was the way that we were able to create some resources right away for entrepreneurs in Northern Colorado and beyond. And I think that was empowered a lot by the event itself, because we were still on a really good roll. Can you talk a little bit about the place that Founded in FOCO has for the entrepreneurial community in Fort Collins in terms of a touch point, a connecting point, a gathering place. Can you talk a little bit about how that has formed?
Yeah. So one of the most important things for all of the organizers, and I think there's been four of us that have been the lead organizer of either Fort Collins Startup Week or Founded in FOCO. And this is also true of Made in Loveland, by the way, which is another event that's in similar vein.
Yeah.
And had been the Loveland Startup Week.
So we
operate as sort of a bridge between all of the different organizations and business service providers in the community. So the entrepreneurs themselves are often considered as sort of a lump group of these, you know, the community. But there are pillars in that community of folks who, you know, like yourself, have a podcast or have a consultancy at the SBDC or yeah. do something to, you know, elevate the business community above and beyond just the operations of their business. And so identifying who those folks are, bringing them in, folks like Peggy Lyle, folks like Shannon Hine, the city, you know, folks, you know, like Charles House, who's a local marketing startup. And so, you know, Charles has been instrumental in bringing a lot of our schedule together this year.
Yeah.
And so what we look at is who is in our community. Angel from the Latino Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Right? Who do we see in our community that needs to be part of this event? And what can we do not to replicate what they're doing, not to reinvent the wheel or to have them to, you know, repurpose some bit of content they've already got? What can we do to show off the excellence that they are putting back into the community? And so, Franklin, you know, you and I recorded at the very beginning of the pandemic, you know, how to launch an e-commerce business or how to transition your existing in-person business to an e-commerce store.
Yeah.
And that was one of the webinars. And so it's very much like, oh, how can we connect the dots in a new way? And that's true of individual entrepreneurs. And it's also true of larger entities like the United Way and the Chamber of Commerce. And so corporate social responsibility is a big theme this year. The United Way is leaning in. Scott Hapner and his team are leaning in heavily to help us promote that. Hope Hartman at the Larimer SBDC and her team leaning in to do they used to call it Show Me the Money, right?
Yeah.
And then they realized Jerry Maguire is like 20 plus years old now. And so they started rebranding it because they want the millennials and the Gen Yers in the room too, and the Gen Zers. And so there's so much to work with and interface in our community that it can be overwhelming for any individual entrepreneur. So an entrepreneur like me might go to CSU's Institute for Entrepreneurship, and Scott Schrake and Jim, their team over there, and learn about how to, you know, validate my venture, but then I don't know what the next step is.
Yeah.
And so is it to go to the SBDC? Is it to go to the chamber? Is it to go, you know, where do I go? And so our organization, our event really serves to bridge those gaps between all the different islands or the silos in our community. And we try to break down those walls and make each of those organizations more accessible by highlighting the best of what those organizations have to offer.
That's one of the things that I really appreciate a lot about Founded in FOCO is that there is a lot of buy-in from every corner of, you know, all of the different supports, like you mentioned, CSU, SBDC, Chamber, all of these different organizations and groups and support services are just really, they're not holding back at all. And I think that that's one of the keys to the success of the event. The other thing I'd like to talk a little bit about, as I said earlier on, this podcast originally was intended for people who love working alone, and solitude is one of our core values. That said, isolation is not one of our core values. And one of the things that I also wanted to mention about Founded in FOCO is that there are some excellent networking opportunities that are built into the event. Can you talk a little bit about what those are and what people can find in terms of networking with other business owners, networking with potential clients? What are the opportunities there?
Yeah, we actually love we call it the Reese's peanut butter effect, where you get a little bit of peanut butter and a little bit of chocolate together, and you mix them together, and it makes this whole new thing. And so we've tried to be really purposeful about that. One of the actual tracks came out of that process, where Leandra, who's now the organizer of 1 Million Cups, had come to us and said, "We really want to see some freelancing. Like, there should be something about, this track for creatives, and have a whole effort just designed around this." And unbeknownst to Leandra, Karen Joy had just come to us and said the same thing. It's like, we really should have, we said, "Oh, do y'all know each other? We should get together and like, let's have some coffee." And so they became the track captains. A similar story happened with Kim Fisher and the nonprofit track. And so there was maybe one or two sessions that were built around like grant funding and finding board members for your nonprofit. And the Poudre Library District had this wonderful nonprofit librarian and this new wonderful nonprofit center where we were really, and our event, by the way, is hosted at Front Range Community College. It's right there on the Larimer County campus on Shield Street in Harmony. And it's such a wonderful venue. It has such a wealth of resources right there on the campus that most people in our community are like, "What, the SBDC is there?" And they have a library and all this other stuff. And unless you go there and know, you would never even think about it. There's some truly amazing things happening over at Front Range, and that's true across the span of our community. That's true in Loveland. That's true in Greeley. I'm a graduate of Leadership Northern Colorado, and so to see all of the things that I thought I was connected into, and to hear from the people, even the stuff from the food bank, right? What they do and how they partner and who they partner with and what those interfaces look like. You can't really get that unless you're in the room and having those opportunities to network. And so we try and provide for our audience this massive opportunity to just meet the people who are doing amazing things and to walk up and introduce yourself and have those conversations. Even if it's a 30 second in between a session, we're actually giving people this time around 30 minutes in between their sessions. So they have the ability to go and talk and connect with each other and have those offline conversations to build those connections and find out about those wonderful resources in our community or discuss ideas or the next big thing. Because it's not just us who benefits, it's every organization that comes and participates, every freelancer and every business. Isolation is rough. And we don't operate well when we're in that space.
Not at all.
You stagnate, and we just can't afford, as a regional economy, we can't afford stagnation. It doesn't serve us to be isolated in that way.
Not at all. Before we go any further, we do need to mention the dates and the how to find the registration information for Founded in FOCO. Fill us in on the dates. We've already mentioned that it happens at Front Range Community College.
That's right. It's going
But
to be March 1st through 3rd. And it's almost always, because of COVID, we shifted to September this last time around. But it's almost always the last week of February, first week of March. And so this year, 2023, it's going to be March 1st through 3rd.
Very good. And Front Range is very easy to find. It is a good reason to go to the south side of Fort Collins. Just a ton of beautiful resources there and some nice meeting places to just hang out with people and chat.
Yeah. And those students, so Front Range has a lot of really cool programs that are specifically adapted to getting you into the workforce quickly. And we're going to have a nursing shortage, some astonishing number of nurses that UCH needs for the next 10 years. And they're predicting that we're going to fall short of that by a significant amount. So if you're in the mode of career change, as most of us are, maybe consider nursing. They have a wonderful program over there as well.
And a
They have
brand new
programs with
facility.
HVAC and, oh yeah, HVAC and welding. And I got a wonderful tour of all of that. They'll show you all of these things if you go on campus and say, I'm thinking about doing this. You have a Chinese medicine center, or they're one of the like three top recognized colleges for Chinese medicine and non-traditional medicine. There's all sorts of things that you can go into and learn. And that's really true of that's the spirit of Founded in FOCO as well, is that if you have the passion and commitment that you can go and pick something up, a skill, something new, something that you didn't consider before, just from meeting somebody on a campus for an hour.
Yeah.
And so it's a really good fit for our event.
Well, I'm gonna date myself here dramatically and talk a little bit about, even way before my time, there was a movie series featuring Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, where Mickey Rooney played a guy named Andy Hardy. And their famous line was, "We've got a barn, let's put on a show." And Nick, you remind me of Andy Hardy in so many ways.
Well, see, now I'm going to have to go and dig in the archives and watch the movie.
Oh, man, it's the best thing ever. It's like, if they ever need to raise money or anything, "We've got a barn, let's put on a show." But the thing that I really love about it, Nick, is that you bring together local powerhouse opportunities for people. And it's not just in Founded in FOCO. Another great example is Fort Collins Comic Con. How many years has that been going on now?
This will be our ninth year for Fort Collins Comic Con. And I have a hard time because of COVID remembering the math on that. But this will be our ninth year. We had one or two virtual years where that was just an interesting thing. And, you know, you try and bring in things that people will really enjoy. During the pandemic, we had the Streaming Science Symposium, and there was an opportunity there to bring in, JPL NASA scientists. And because they didn't have to travel, we could get whoever we wanted. So we got the operator of the Hubble Space Telescope. And so we got to talk to them and really, you know, have them outlay what their program was and how to troubleshoot an issue. And they had this amazing technical diagram of just like, here's exactly the steps that we went through to fix this one little like power surge issue that the Hubble was experiencing that no one could go up and fix. So how do you troubleshoot that from the ground, you know, from hundreds of miles away?
It's just so astonishing. Cool, though. I mean, isn't that amazing? And it's like, in the midst of this, you know, crazy upheaval of the pandemic, this cool thing became possible and actually happened.
And what's fascinating is the scientists are right here in our own backyard. Colorado is an aerospace hub and science hub. Thanks to our great universities, right? CSU is a big component of this. And we have Ball Aerospace right in our own backyard. And so Dr. Benjamin Cromie is one of our speakers each year, comes and shows off different ways to look at light and optics and how that plays into science. And he's a huge Star Trek fan. He's part of an audio drama that we're both a part of, where we play characters in a Star Trek audio universe.
Oh, so much fun.
But yeah, it's, you know, you don't necessarily think of, oh, my neighbor is, you know, one of the chief aerospace advisors for Ball Aerospace, right? And how do you handle optics, and what do you do with light transmission between Earth and satellites? And so it's such a cool space that we exist in, that the opportunity is really boundless. And I've been really honored that I have so many smart and talented people to work with. And we, as a team, because I don't do this alone, right? There's no mistake here. This is not a Nick Armstrong is awesome type thing. This is everybody in the community. I've mentioned a lot of them at the offset. For Comic-Con, we have a completely different team. Mayette and Todd and Ben and Sess. We have all of these great people and Brianna who come together to honor the community and give back in a particular way. And, you know, 8 years is a long time to be doing that.
Yes, it is.
It's a lot of dedication to the community, and it's because we see a need in the community that isn't being filled. And so children's literacy has been a really big focus for us. Mental health, as a result of the Healthy Kids Colorado survey, is really key focus. And because of COVID, we actually had the opportunity to run our local superhero creator club, which is kids of all ages they have an idea for like a superhero, like we all do, right? Like, oh, if I could make my own superhero, what would it be? We actually have a program with a sheet, everything, and artists who come in and help advise these kids to bring their imaginary creation to life and have that on their paper, or to create a cosplay element, which is like designing a costume element that you would like see in a movie, right? And so we had three artists. We were able to run this program. We normally run it at Griffin Games and Comics, who's an amazing host for us, local comic book shop. We instead were able to run it in tangent with Imagine Zero, which is a coalition that helps provide programming for the Alliance for Suicide Prevention of Larimer County.
Yeah.
And we were able to host the event because of that partnership at the Fort Collins Museum of Discovery during one of their free days, during the Teen Self-Healthcare Fair. And we had an amazing array of participants. And it was this really just heartening event. Yeah. And that we wouldn't have had access to had it not been for like COVID mangling some things and then allowing us to do partnerships in a new way. And so it reemphasized this idea of mental health as a need, a desperate need for our kids in our community. And we're in a position and positioned well to be able to offer a way of self-expression, and in a way that's self-care, and do it in a responsible way with partners that are there ready with additional resources for things that are outside of our area of expertise, but well aligned with the intent of what we're doing.
Yeah. Now, Fort Collins Comic-Con happens a little bit later in the year, right? Toward the end of the summer?
Yeah. So we usually have that at the end of August.
Okay.
And this benefits, year it's going to be August 25th to the 27th.
Very cool. It benefits the Poudre Library District. You've raised thousands of dollars, tens of thousands now.
$140,000.
Oh my God.
Over the last 8 years, our team has raised. So.
That is so cool.
Yeah. We love doing it every year, and the attendees get a blast out of it. And what's really cool is we've purposefully held the badge prices low and the vendor booth prices low. So if you were to go to another con, and now this is not a dig on another con, because in other spaces and other places you have convention centers and large scale things, and that, you know, there's a lot of overhead that goes into those things, larger cities, right? Here we're able to hold our badge prices at $20 for an adult, $10 for a teen, and free for kids 5 and under. And that allows a family of four to get into the con for under $100, which subsequently allows them to be able to spend more money on art and artists and things that they love. Yeah. And so they can come home and take home that art if they so choose. And the artists, on the flip side, have a booth that is well priced. It's usually around $100, $150, depending on if they want power or not.
Crazy cool.
Right. And so it's about three or four times that cost at a larger con and a larger city. We still get about 3,000 to 4,000 people in the Azatlan Center throughout the course of the weekend. And so on the first day, most of our vendors are making back their money. And they are then able to support and sustain their living. They didn't have to pay a ton of money to the table to be there. They didn't have to worry about the marketing or anything else like that. There were people flowing through the convention center who are passionate about their art and their creation. And so it works on so many levels to help support the community. And these were purposeful choices, not just like, oh, we were limited in, you know, our size and scope and space and whatever. No, we could charge more. We don't, because we know it's better for the community if we don't. And yet we can still donate each time $15,000 to $20,000 to our cause of choice.
Just so cool. So much is possible when we get together, right?
Yes.
It's like when you get the group together and just say, this is what we're going to do.
And you cannot do either of these events without an amazing team.
Oh, yeah. I'd also like to talk about it from another angle, and that is that both Founded in FOCO and Fort Collins Comic-Con have sponsors. And one of the things that I'm curious about, your company, WTF Marketing, is one of the sponsors of both events. Now, talk to me a little bit about what's the benefit to your company of being involved as a sponsor?
Sure. In both events, there's a halo effect, right? And halo effect is when you do a good thing that has an outreaching, you know, I would almost call it an externality, but not in a negative sense, right?
Yeah.
Of positive affect toward the brands that are associated and help empower that thing to happen. And so this is true of things like the City of Fort Collins Fort Fund, which is a major sponsor of both events.
Yeah.
The Economic Health Department, who helps us with the Founded in FOCO effort, and the entire economic development team of the City of Fort Collins there is behind the event, helping provide some programming support and figure things out. But they also get their logo on the event, right? And yep. because they're out there doing work. We have partners like, you know, Peter and Beth from Maine, who are working to create this digital platform to interconnect all of the different things and service providers and all of the cool things that those people are able to do and organizations are able to offer in terms of resources for each other and simplify that ask across the board. Because if you can see it on a screen, you know what it's possible. Peter served as a greeter this year at last year at Founded in FOCO. And so, you know, do we have a problem with them onboarding people onto their app as they're greeting people into Founded in FOCO? No, because that's part of the thing. And so there are more tangible benefits, right? So like growing your user base. In my case for WTF, we talked a little bit about my origin story. When I started my business, I was building websites for $350.
Yeah.
Fully designed WordPress websites for $350. And if you're not a web designer, you see Franklin laughing because it's absurd. That is like 1/10 of what the basic entry level website would cost now. But like it was absurd then. And I'm like, a website, great. I can pay a third of my groceries. Great. A website, I can pay, you know, some of my rent. And that was unsustainable. And I had very smart business mentors, most of them women, around me who were like helping me figure things out. So Lori Maycomer, Ava Diamond, and a lot of these business powerhouses that are in our community, I was fortunate enough to be able to have the chance to work with them and to learn from them. And that they saw in me something that was worth, you know, sending the elevator back down. Coming from that realm of like, oh, what is it that, you know, do we make websites? Do we make marketing strategy? Do we whatever? Into doing things like, oh, look, it's possible to help the library, who was a client at the time, when their fundraising arm can't operate because the building that they store the books in to do the book drive is becoming the Butterfly Cafe.
Yeah.
And it's been sold off, so they can't store their books. So now what do we do? They're out $15,000. Well, we ran an event that helped them raise $15,000. That was Comic-Con. And you know, Nate Scott from he was at the time Realities for Children, I think, the Fort Collins Zombie Crawl, and Paula Watson-Lackamp, who was the communications director at the time. We all got together at Equinox Brewing, and we said, what is it that we can do? We said, we can make a con. And so logistically and operationally, none of us had done that before. We knew it was possible. Yeah. And so WTF became the organizing curator of this knowledge. And so that was really a game changer in terms of what we were able to do and provide. And a lot of the services that we can provide clients now are in line with that, making a cool event that you wouldn't necessarily associate with a thing. So like the library is not always, you know, a good fit with a Comic-Con, right? Yeah. Because those are like almost divergent audiences, but really the underpinnings of it are all about literacy. And so identifying that that was true and then building up around that was a really key element to that. And then connecting in with somebody who knows artists because they are one, Todd Jones, who's helping us with the vendor coordination and growing that team. So Todd is a writer, connects and collaborates with other writers, has his own prominence as a writer, and then gets his own audience and can work, you know, through his booth to start making those things happen and make those connections because he's connecting to other artists and authors who then can collaborate with him on works. And so it is intrinsically valuable to give your time back in this way.
Yeah.
And while you might not see an immediate return on your like, oh, I'm not getting paid to do this, right? Because both of these are volunteer efforts.
Yeah.
You might not see an immediate return on things like that. You will see that intrinsic value of giving back your time and doing the thing well over time earns a lot of trust.
Yeah.
And it establishes you in the community as somebody who actually is a valuable player who's not in it for themselves, who's not in it for a profit motive, and who can actually benefit people just by being in the room and sharing an idea or two. And that's true of our entire team, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mentioned Peter and Beth. They are just super imaginative. Yeah. You're in the room, Franklin, like, you know, people light up. There's a reason that pillars sort of gravitate toward each other. And we talk a lot about, like, nobody likes group projects, but everybody works really well when they're in kind of close proximity to each other and maybe just having their own little areas of expertise that overlap in Venn diagram style.
Yeah, man. Well, I can only speak from my experience here, but I've presented and I've been a panelist several times for formerly Startup Week and now founded Infoco. And I've been a volunteer a couple of times, and I've been a volunteer for Made in Loveland Week. And I've way back when there was a TEDx Front Range that I was a volunteer for as well.
And you and I both spoke at that, didn't we?
I didn't speak at TEDx Front Range. I was just on the crew. But
okay.
What I wanted to mention is that all of those organizations have been, for me, cornerstone places for networking and building my community of business connections in the local area. I can't replace that value any other way. It's like you are going to meet the people who are dedicated, committed, and movers and shakers in the community if you show up as a volunteer. There's no better place to find those kinds of connections than that. So if people are interested in volunteering, Nick, what are some ways that they can link up?
Foundedinfoco.com. That is the hub of all things Founded in Foco. You can volunteer. There's a link right on the header. You can subscribe for updates if you wanted to learn when the schedule comes out. The time of this podcast, the schedule will be out, and you can go and RSVP as you choose to different sessions and whatever else. And just show up, really. That's the thing. Show up, meet some people, be willing to, especially if you're an introvert, I understand how difficult that is. It's okay to be the one that's sitting in the back of the room. You find one person that you want to connect with, you want to say hi to, or that you heard a great question from. Just want to say, like, that was a great question. What do you do? And really get that conversation started, because that's the important. That's the part that starts those connections and builds into something useful. Now, if you do have a burning desire to, like, I want to run a track, or I have this great idea to whatever, our contact information's right on the website. So you can reach out anytime. And almost always, you know, my job as a lead organizer is to say yes to a lot of things and then provide resources to help get those things done. Yeah. And so the platform is there. If you are willing to participate and to give first, those things exist for you. So absolutely, the involvement of you and your ideas is welcome. And we need you. That's the key thing.
Well, those who have listened to my podcast before have heard me say that I believe that community is the source of all opportunity. And these events are priceless in terms of their value in that area, in terms of finding new opportunity for you, your business, your organization, and all of that. Nick, in addition to all of this stuff, just last year you launched a hot sauce brand.
I was a little bored, right?
You just didn't have enough to do.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I ran for office. Yeah. I ran for Fort Collins City Council District 1. I lost by 33 votes. My opponent is lovely. She is a wonderful human being, and is doing a great job on city council. And we have a great working relationship. And, you know, one of the things they don't tell you is that when you run, you have invested yourself fully in the thing.
Yeah.
And so I still have my stickers. I have my articles down here and things, just to remind myself of what was important at that time. And it was, most politicians use a list, right? It's a nonpartisan position, and yet you have official parties leaning in to provide support of things. And so as an independent, I didn't have any of that. And so a lot of the bigger parties, they're like, here's your list. go knock on these doors, and these are likely supporters, and these are people that you can likely convert to your cause or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I didn't have any of that. I had Larimer County data, and I went and knocked on every neighbor's door in District 1, everywhere I was allowed to knock. And I had conversations with my neighbors, because that's what you're supposed to do as a city council person. And so when I lost the election, I had 7 or 8 pages worth of notes. And I took all of those notes and I handed them back to the city council that was elected, including Susan, who was my opponent. And I said, here's everything I heard from my neighbors all throughout District 1 of what they believe is important and what they would like us to prioritize as a city council and what they as a city, as a citizen of our city, feel is missing. And please act on this. And so I would show up to commissions and meetings, and I eventually was appointed to the Fort Collins Parks and Recreation Board. And so there's this moment of like, after you lose an election, what do you do? Because you've got all this, you're amped up, you were going door to door every single day, you were talking to 100 people every single day, you were making phone calls, you were doing podcast interviews, you were doing all of this stuff. And then it stops. And it was like 3 a.m. on the night of the election, because it was so close. And the, you know, first results came back, and I was watching Hamilton, as one does. And I was like, what? I don't want to take this call from Pat at the Coloradoan, because she's going to ask me how I feel about having come in second. Yeah. And at that moment, I was like, I don't want to deal with this. And it takes a while. So another candidate from District 4, Jess Deardall, who was in my Leadership Northern Colorado class, came to me and said, well, do you feel like you're like stuck in first gear with a really nice sports car and you can't do anything with it? And they're like, yeah. And so we were both like climbing the walls, trying to figure out what to do. And there's not a really good answer to that, but my answer that I came up with was, I'm going to start a hot sauce company, because it's something I've always wanted to do. And if I have all this energy, and it's sort of similar to the idea of like when new couples find out that they're pregnant for the first time, they will enter this phase of nesting. And so you have this digital nesting phase that you see from a lot of entrepreneurs, that when they announce, oh, like there's a baby coming, and then 6 months later, they launch an effort that you know is like totally unsustainable. For me, that lean in of the hot sauce was, I had these recipes from back in high school. And back in high school, I was an idiot. I didn't know anything about food safety. I didn't know anything about commercial kitchens or what it would take to clear FDA clearance or acidic food certification or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Nutritional labels, like nothing. I was making it for fun, and it was fun. And that was something that really resonated with me in that moment of like, I've lost the election and now what? And so then my friend Gabe, who runs the Crooked Cup, also last name is Armstrong. People get asked all the time if we're brothers. We're not. He runs the Crooked Cup in Old Town, and he has this commercial kitchen space. And I said, is it possible as a speaker gift, I would love to make this hot sauce, because I had just been to Winter Park and they had hot sauce from their Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
And they gave them out to all the local businesses as this like, you know, hey, we're here. We want you to celebrate that you're part of the community. And so we could do that. Why not? And so I contacted Gabe, and Gabe helped us make our first flavor, and we had fully intended to just give it away. However, all of the steps that are required to get there, the UPC code, the nutritional labeling, the branding, all of the rest of that stuff, we are going through all of this effort and expense to do this. I might as well turn this into a company.
Yeah.
And so it became, the first flavor was Sweet Success, was raspberry mole. And the second, you know, ghosted ghost pepper. So I wanted people to be able to say like, oh, I had ghost pepper. I can tolerate ghost pepper. It's like a bragging right. You know, it's impressive maybe to your kids or whatever. My 8-year-old loves the ghost pepper hot sauce, you know, but, we started at a process of fermentation for the peppers. And the reason that we do that is because it takes a lot of the heat off of the front end of the pepper. And it puts the flavor first. And so you get these amazing mole and raspberry flavors with a slow progression of heat. And the same thing is true of the Ghost Pepper. And the same thing is true of our collaboration with Copper Muse, the Firefly.
Yeah.
So a whiskey, maple hot sauce, chipotle peppers inside.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's delicious. And that's me tooting my own horn, but it truly is. Like, if you want to try a sample, we'll send some. But the idea is that the hot sauce world is inundated with a ton of heat or a ton of salt. And it's not always good salt, and it's not always good heat. And so we really wanted to emphasize the flavor and allow you to have that build up and appreciation of the flavor and augmentation of the flavors of your food and not just drowning it in hot sauce.
Sounds yummy. And the good news is that people in Northern Colorado can actually buy it at a grocery store.
This is true.
So tell them where.
Well, thanks to our friends at Loco Foods, we're now distributed to all 30 Colorado Sprouts stores all across Colorado. And also, you can find it in Lucky's Market. You can find it in the cupboard. You can find it in some various coffee shops, the Crooked Cup being one of them. Gabe also has a cold brew cayenne pepper hot sauce, which is absolutely, it's called Caffeine Inferno. It has a small amount of caffeine, but a lot of kick, and it's just delicious. And he has his daughter co-designed a unicorn hot sauce, which is bright pink, and it's pink Himalayan sea salt and some other pepper, but it tastes really similar to a spicy sweet and sour sauce. And it's just the weirdest flavor you'll ever imagine, but it's amazing.
That's so much fun. Now, the brand of the hot sauce is interesting to me because it's the reverse of the brand of your marketing company.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if this is something that just kind of happened because you had to put something on a label really quickly, or was it something that you put a lot of thought into? Because your marketing company is called WTF Marketing.
This is
and
true.
The hot sauce is called FTW Hot Sauce. And it stands for something besides what FTW generally stands for. Can you tell us a little bit about the brand?
Yeah. So WTF, right? We all know what WTF stands for. Yeah. And the company does stand exactly for that. It's unabashed honesty, right? So it took me a while to get there. But the for the win, FTW, right, is a common gaming vernacular. I was always loving games, and I wanted something to really... one of my favorite games is Portal, and there's this really like cheeky AI who like insults you and makes fun of you the entire time you're trying to solve the puzzles, and like there's these in jokes of how rude the AI can be, and you just have to like tolerate it as you're going through. And so I love that idea of this like tongue-in-cheek branding that could be something reminiscent of my old school like video game roots. FTW, you know, you could be like, oh, that was really kind of a lazy choice, wasn't it, Nick? Like, but Emily Schertz, who's our graphic designer, an amazing LGBTQ artist in our community, does all sorts of branding and packaging, and had reached out. I said, this is a perfect project for you because I know you're a gamer at heart too. Yeah. And so Emily created for us some 16-bit graphics, which are like Sega Genesis style for all of the different like peppers and the styles and the flavors. And one of the ones that I was desperate to make, and it took so long to get it done. And actually my 8-year-old helped out with making it come to fruition. Is the cake is a lie, which is the joke from Portal, right? So they promise you cake if you solve the puzzle, and the cake is a lie. It's always a lie. The cake is a lie.
Too funny.
And so they called it the carrot cake is a lie, and it's a carrot cake habanero hot sauce, which gets progressively hotter and hotter the more you put on. And it is absolutely delicious.
Most folks,
they don't even think about carrot cake as a hot sauce, but it's this vanilla hint, and it's got cinnamon and nutmeg, and it's just,
I'm going to have to
and
make
the sweetness
trip over
of
to
the
Sprout.
Carrot. Oh, yeah. So that one we just launched. So you won't find that one in Sprouts. You have to go to For the Win, FTWHotSauce.com. And buy it direct, but it's delicious.
That's wonderful, Nick. This has been a very fun conversation, as always. But I'm hoping that people will catch some inspiration here about just what's possible when you have good ideas and good people, and all of the different things that can happen when we come together and actually make something valuable and important and memorable for people. You're ace in that test all the time, and it's just a wonderful thing for our community, and I feel like that we're lucky to have you. Anything that you'd like to say in closing?
Yeah, find a good team. That's what I would say. Even if you enjoy isolation, even if you enjoy working alone, find a good team, participate. I'm our neighborhood HOA board president. We just won the Association of the Year award for our community, the over 100 units in Colorado. We were the only HOA in Colorado to win this award. I never wanted to join the HOA. I was very much that isolationist, like I don't want the red tape, I don't want the harassment, I don't want any of it. And yet, 6 years later, it's been really heartening. And if you know how to collaborate and connect with a team and how to disagree well with respect and decorum, boards are a great place to start because there's an expectation of respect. An expectation of following Robert's rules of order. You don't have to go jumping into a board. They're a really good place to start, and there are always openings. The flip side to that is work on a collaborative project. If there's something that you or someone in your community is identified as a need, even if it's a nonprofit or an organization that's trying to do some good, and we don't know how to do this thing, but we know that if we had the right help, we could do it. Lean in. Ask, talk to executive directors of nonprofits. There are 800 plus in Northern Colorado, probably a lot more than that. And just, I think it's just in Fort Collins that there's 800. Something I heard Kim Fisher say was that there's like 3,000. So there's no end of help that we need. And I would also say, when you identified that team of people that you work really well together, honor them, let them shine in their way. Phil and Candace do amazing work through Propel Growth. Their LinkedIn efforts are truly astonishing what they're able to get out there. Cindy Skalicki, who helps us out, her communication stuff that she
Oh,
puts into
Cindy's
the
awesome.
world. Yeah, right. And like they're not awesome because they participate. They participate because they're awesome. And having that mentality of everyone can shine, and your job as a teammate, or even as an organizer, as a leader, a convener, whatever, is to bring the smart people into the room and recognize that you're probably not going to be the smartest, and that's okay. You're probably not going to be the most creative, and that's okay. And you don't have to control everything. You can influence in your own way, and you can step back and allow the folks to have their platform and allow them to shine, because they're going to make it so much better than you could ever on your own. And that's really where I've been privileged to be able to have such dedicated teams across both Founded in FOCO and Fort Collins Comic Con. And the methodology with which we grow the teams is truly organic, right? You participate as a volunteer, as you said, like you volunteered at TEDx. One of the things that stuck with me is Carrie when she was there. You and Carrie both just leaning in and saying, like, hey, make sure you're staying hydrated. Make sure you're feeling good. Like, are you nervous? Like, do you need to talk? Do you need a minute or two? And it was this really helpful. That stuck with me. And I think that there's a lot of reasons why you and I have remained friends, and Carrie and I still are good friends. And she even had a booth at Comic-Con. It's a small world, especially in Northern Colorado. So when you do build that team and you find those folks, stick with it. Join programs, Leadership Northern Colorado, Leadership Fort Collins. Find a way to get outside of your box in ways that are, especially if you're an introvert, in ways that are structured so that you have to participate in a particular way, and it gently stretches your boundaries so that you can grow without feeling disheartened or disenchanted with the process, you know?
Very cool. Well, folks, I guess this episode has been Nick Armstrong, WTF Marketing, founded in FOCO, Fort Collins Comic Con, FTW Hot Sauce, among many other things. HOA president. Nick, I appreciate the inspiration that you always bring to the table, and I'm going to have links for all of those things that that we talked about in the description, but I do want to remind people again, Founded in FOCO is going to be happening March 1st through 3rd at Front Range Community College in Fort Collins. It's not limited to Fort Collins residents. Anyone from Northern Colorado or beyond is welcome to attend. It's a free event, and there are tons of things going on, from networking to panel discussions to workshops to classes. And more. So
speaker applications will open right at the event too. So if you know something that you're interested in speaking, foundedinfoco.com/speak. As Franklin said, it's a free event. All 3 days, totally free. You can attend anything that you want to. You can drop in. There's no obligation to hang out for more than the panels that you are interested in, but there's usually a benefit. And you find that it's hard to leave.
Yeah. So foundedinfoco.com, register there. Make sure you do register, because they do keep track of the number of people who are signing up for things, and the rooms do fill up. Yeah. So it's really important to register ahead of time if you can. Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Franklin. It's always great to get on a podcast with you.
Good fun, man.
Of our talks.
Good fun. Thanks for listening to Your Own Best Company. If you enjoyed the show, would you do me a favor and subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast host? If you really love it, leave me a review or share it with your circles. If you feel like your career is reaching a dead end, or you're feeling a deep sense of dissatisfaction in your work right now, I help people discover their gifts and then find or create new opportunities that are the best fit for their talent, experience, and lifestyle. Email me at coaching@franklintaggart.com for more information. I also help people start, finish, and launch creative projects, and I offer an ongoing marketing mastermind for solopreneurs and freelancers. More information on these programs and services can be found at franklintaggart.com. Thanks again for spending this time with me.